We're talking about horticulture, and we're talking about botany. So we've got a large range of subjects that we're talking about. In Romans, the 11th chapter, we're studying our New Testament survey. We're going through the whole New Testament, and we're stuck in the book of Romans right now because there's an awful lot of good stuff there, isn't there? I don't know how far I'm going to get with this, but Paul is telling these people at Rome that they're lucky. You're lucky. A lot of people carry a rabbit's foot. They carry a rock. They carry some type of special amulet or whatever. Some totem, something that will give them good luck. They have special things that give them good luck. But there is no such thing as luck in all reality. We are living in this age according to the devices of Satan. Are we or are we not? He is the God of this age. I thought about that so many times. The God of this age. Not everything that happens in our lives or happens to us is by the direct providence of God. In other words, by the direct guidance of God. Satan is there. Now, did Satan make, or did God make Satan do the things that he did to Job?
No.
No. He allowed it to happen. And I'm telling you, Job went through the ringer, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Absolutely went through the ringer. You can put yourself there. In the book of Job, you can say the book of Vincent, the book of Sharon, the book of Marilyn, and the book of Raymond, the book of Carol. You can see all of this. If we ever get out of this world with anything at all, it's by grace. Period. By grace. It's all by grace. The world is blind to the love of God. The world is deaf to God's word. Is this true or not? Now, sometimes God tries to reach a people, a nation, or a person with God's word. And they reject and reject and reject, and pretty soon they're blind and they're deaf to it. They're blind and deaf. I was looking at that, the nature of man up there on that chart that you have on the wall, Brother A. Now, that's tree. That's horticulture and botany, okay? And we're seeing all these things. Well, we're going to talk about that just a little bit today. Israel was a failure, wasn't she? Did she? Look over here. Israel. Now here we have the basis of all our faith, which depends upon who? The Abrahamic covenant. Okay? The Abrahamic covenant. But all the way back here we have the Isha covenant. The Isha covenant. What's that Isha covenant? Okay, the promise of the Messiah through the woman. So we have the Isha covenant, which we're going to have a Savior through the woman. Okay, not the man, but the woman. We have over here, we have Abraham being called. Abraham is called of God out of a land of pagans. Pagans. And you've got to get him out of that land of pagans before he can do anything with him. And even his father is a pagan. All these people yet are of the faith line, but they're pagans. How much paganism do you have in you? You ever think about that today? How much paganism do we have in us? How much paganism do we have in us? How much world do we have in us? Let's just think about this for a while. Our promises, first of all, is upon the Isha promise, the Isha covenant, which is the covenant to the woman whereby all can be saved. All can be saved, if they will be saved. We have the what we call the sufficient call of God, that God is able to save all mankind. And we have the what we call the efficacious call of God, where the people that respond, and that it becomes, the atonement becomes efficacious to them, doesn't it? And we have Israel. Israel's responsibility was, it says here, to keep the law. Number one, look for the Messiah. Keep for the law, because the law would point you to the Messiah. Because there is nothing in us that can really be worthy to walk into heaven. How many people have ever gone to heaven because of their good works?
Oh, no.
Ooh, the Mia. No one. Not one. No one ever did. Not Job. Job didn't do it either. Adam sure didn't. Moses didn't. Moshe, he didn't make it. Aaron got killed in the process, didn't he? He's a ungodly buzzard. Okay, God killed him. Why, Miriam, God struck her with leprosy and then took her away too. We have the song of Moses or the song of Miriam in the Bible, inspired words through her, but God used her. God can use each and every one of us. And we're grafted in to these promises. We're grafted in. I want you to go, now we're in the 11th chapter, verse 16 in the book of Romans. Hold your place there. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, well, John 15 first. John 15. John the 15th chapter. You're all familiar with this. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the tree trimmer. There was a tree trimmer in the Old Testament. Remember him? Remember the tree trimmer in the Old Testament? A trimmer of mulberry trees. Think about that one for a while. The tree trimmer of mulberry trees. That's what he did for a living. He was a tree trimmer. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear fruit, more fruit. Israel was supposed to look for the Messiah and keep the law and to propagate the principles of the law. They never kept it, did they? No man ever kept the law. It's impossible. They broke the law, but the biggest failure was they rejected Christ, so God dispersed them. They have worldwide disbursement. Deuteronomy 28, 63 through 66, it said, Moses said this was going to happen. All right. And Luke 21, 20 through 24, and also Ezekiel in 36, 16 through 19 said that this is going to happen. Did God make it happen? But he allowed it to happen. Allowed it to happen. He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Ye are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, who's he speaking here to? Who's speaking, by the way? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? His church. It's already there. It didn't start on the day of Pentecost. Okay, it started at Galilee. Now, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You people are already saved, except for one. And he was an officer in the church, wasn't he? Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. And from apart from me, you cannot do anything. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away at a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and there burn. If you abide in me, and in my words abide in you, Ask whatsoever wish, and it shall be done for you. Now, Jesus is speaking to his church. Now, what was this church founded upon?
The apostles' teachings.
Found upon Jesus.
Okay,
yeah. He's the rock, isn't he? Matthew 16:18. For you are Petros, a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundation stone I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell will try to wrestle you down, but they will not. Okay? Now, did the gates of hell try to wrestle the church down?
Absolutely.
In church history up here, we see all the evolution of theology and Christendom. Do we not?
Yep.
Is the doctrine of celibacy, is that a doctrine of God?
No.
Is Satan image worship, is that according to the Word of God?
Absolutely not.
That was 787. How about purgatory? Is that a biblical doctrine?
No.
No. How about indulgences? Is that a biblical doctrine?
No.
That you can buy the right to sin? How about Mariolatry? The worship of Mary. Is that a doctrine of God? But it all happened, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And these churches that practice these things, and is the state and church, is that a doctrine of God? We got so many people today in Christendom that said that's never was a separation of church and state. Well, if you're a Catholic or a Muslim, there is no separation of church and state. But I'm not neither one of them. Okay? I'm a Christian. I one time preached in Fish Lake Valley years ago. I said, you can't be a Christian unless you're a Baptist. Boy, did they have a wall-eyed conniption fit. It like tore the place up. Why, you can be in Christendom. You might even be saved in other churches, but if you really want to be a Christian, you better be a Baptist. That's real important. And there are many Baptists that aren't Baptists, aren't they?
Absolutely.
There are many Baptists that aren't Baptists. We look at this vine, and we look at the root. See up there, that tree trunk up there? Now, this is talking about a total different subject here, what we're talking about. But that tree trunk is Jesus. That tree trunk is a promise. That tree trunk is salvation by grace. That tree trunk is Isha theology, Isha covenant, through the woman. Now, Israel was a wild olive tree, and God called her. Now, Maryland and Fish Lake Valley, we have wild olive trees, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
They're tough. A wild olive tree is a very tough tree. It's tough. It can stand anything. All kinds of disease and pests and bugs. It's just real good. And as we read on, we find out that us rats that we are, we were at Bill Lee's yesterday, we were talking about rats and dragons and all this kind of foolishness, you know. Monkeys. And
I'm a rat, according to that.
Yeah.
According to everything.
Yeah, rats and monkeys and boars and all of this, all of these things. This is all mythology. But we're not talking about mythology now. We're talking about facts. Because of the seed of the woman, all the covenants of God were established. The Abrahamic covenant, all of them. God told Abraham, through your seed shall all the nations of the world be. Through your seed, and that goes back to what? The Isha covenant. Genesis 3:15. It goes all the way back to there. Now we come over here to the Hekinah Diatheke, the new covenant. The new covenant. And this new covenant, let's go look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're kind of mixing things up here a little bit. You have to kind of keep it separate. But I want you to know we're all on the same subject, but different aspects of that subject. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10 is according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. Now he's talking about building a house. Jesus is talking about building a house there in Matthew 16:18, wasn't he? But these are all parables. The parable of the house and the parable of the vine, the parable of the tree, and all this botany and horticulture and building, engineering. We have the master engineer, we have the master horticulturist, we have the master botanist. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon this foundation. What's the foundation, Brother Ray?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the church here, isn't he? Talking about the church. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus established his church. Many churches have been established down through the church age. And that great harlot and the other great harlot, two great harlots in history. What are they? Islam and Catholicism. Those are the two greatest harlots in history. Greatest religious harlots, and from them come babies. Babies from these. Different denominations of them. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. The man's work which he has built upon, it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. If you're saved, you're saved. If you want to be rewarded, join one of God's churches. Get scriptural baptism. Do all of those right things. And even if you do that, we're not talking about salvation now. We're talking about rewards, and we're talking about serving the Lord in this world. Even if we do that, it's all by grace. Everything is by grace. Now let's go back to Romans, the 11th chapter. We studied about horticulture and building, engineering. Now let's see what Paul says about this. Now, before this, in Romans, the 11th chapter, he said up here in verse 9, David says, let their table become a snare to them. Let their privileges become a snare to them. Did Israel's privileges become a snare to them? Mm-hmm. Is it today a snare? A Jew today thinks because he's a Jew, he's a blessed of God. Today, it's a miracle if a Jew gets saved. It's an absolute miracle of God if a Jew gets saved today. Because they're stuck in their omelets and their good luck charms and their rabbit's foot. Because they were born. We were born privileged. Let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and retribution to them. Retribution. What's a retribution mean?
Paybacks.
Lex talionis is the Latin. Lex talionis. Can you say that? Lex talionis. That means paybacks. It means judgment. Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and bend their backs forever. And you know what that means? Let them be a slave. Let them be what we call a position of slavery. I say then, they did not stumble as so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, we are going to be grafted in to what they were built upon and the foundation, that wild olive tree, that foundation. They take cultivated olive branches and put them on wild olive trees to protect them. How many of you like walnuts? Marilyn, you better raise your hand. You got it up there. Walnuts. Walnuts, all of the English walnuts and everything are grafted onto a black walnut root. Did you know that? Wild orange trees are, the wild oranges are inedible. They are bitter, terrible. But they take these cultivated oranges and they put them on that root. And they bear fruit. And you can eat that fruit. Mm-hmm. I had three orange trees out there when I lived in Valley Acres so many years ago. It's been 19 years ago now since I lived there. These wild orange trees, you couldn't eat. They had oranges all over the place. I got to haul them to the dump all the time. They weren't fit for anything. All of our religion in the world, all of these people's trumped-up religions aren't fit for consumption whatsoever. They're nothing but to be burned up. In the Old Testament, I almost went there also. It said, what's the difference between the vine and the wood? The vine in the cultivated farms and the wood of the forest. One of them gets to burn up. You go out and you cut the trees down to burn them to make fire, to cook the food that you got in your vineyards, whatever. We're nothing but stubble for the fire, for hell's fires. We are nothing but stubble for hell's fires. But God grafted us in because of His mercy. He grafted us in because of His mercy. In 11 and 16, it says, Romans 11, 16, as if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also, and if the root be holy, the branches are too. What is the root of this wild olive tree, supposedly? The promise in Genesis 3:15, which Abraham was laid and grafted into, which now in New Testament times we are grafted into it. And this verse number 16, he says, for since the first fruit is what it says here, atparke, the first fruit, the first heave offering. Remember, not all the sacrifices in Israel were actually blood, were they? And we're talking about the heave offering, this where they took and offered this grain. And if the grain offering that you wave before the Lord, then you take it, and what do you do with that? It's holy, isn't it, when it's God's? And then you grind the grain off of there, and you make dough out of it. So the heave offering and the dough that you make out of it are both holy, aren't they? Okay? Because it's the Lord's. That's what it's talking about here. The dough was a heave offering. And the firama is what it says, the lump. And if the root, he ritsa hagie, and if the root, that's natcher in Hebrew, by the way. It's Riza here in Greek. It's Natcher in Hebrew. Jesus would be a root out of dry ground. He is the root. He is the foundation of everything. Is He not? He's the foundation of the church. He's the foundation of all salvation. He is the root of that messianic promise in Genesis 3:15, that Isha covenant. The covenant of the human race, that out of the woman will come forth the Messiah. And the root holy, and the branches, the cladoi, the branches are holy. The root's holy and the branches are holy now. Why are we holy before God? Is this anything about us at all? Anything about us at all? There is nothing. It was so wonderful to baptize Jared over there yesterday in Jezreel Missionary Baptist Church, to use their facilities and see those people and see them encourage us. Foundations. That's foundations.
We're a small church here, but we're on a good foundation. You happy with that? We're on a real good foundation. The foundation we're upon is Jesus Christ, and that root that all salvation is upon is Jesus Christ. He's the root out of dry ground. Mm-hmm. Out of the human race is nothing but hellishness, except for one, that root that we're grafted upon. Verse number 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, you being a wild olive were grafted in among them and became partaker of them, of the rich root of the olive tree. The rich root of the olive tree. Let's look and see what it says here. But since some of the branches were chopped off, ex ek lasteson, third person plural, first aorist indicative passive, they were chopped off. Who were these branches? Who's these branches? The Jews. Israel. You know, I admire the life of Jacob. I never don't hear many preachers preach. Everything I ever hear about preachers' mouths out about Jacob was that he was a liar and a cheat and a thief and all that. That man was a man of God. He was in bad circumstances all the time, wasn't he? His children, he couldn't trust them. His relatives, he couldn't trust them either. He couldn't trust his wives. And he only wanted one. He couldn't trust her either. And she blamed him for all of her problems. Women. Women are a lot of trouble, brother. We're outnumbered in here. Actually, it's equal numbers, to tell you the truth. But we're overpowered. Women are stronger than men. They're more persistent than men. Everything. Stronger.
What's my argument?
Harder headed. They are.
Amen.
Tougher.
Amen.
Man, tough. You just, what do you guys have? You think you're tough? You just have a baby and see how tough you are.
I had a kidney stone.
Was it night home?
Yeah. Tough. Girls are tougher than men. We're broken off, and you were a wild olive, agria laos. Do you know what that means? That means wild of the field. That means a field, a fielding. That is a weed, so to speak. We're weeds. But God took this weed and he planted it on that olive tree, that good olive tree, which is Jesus, the bottom of it, remember? And all of our faith is, it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15 and the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, by the way, and the covenant with Ishah was what? Unconditional covenants. It doesn't depend on us at all, does it?
Nope.
When we got over there in the 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, though, that is a conditional covenant, isn't it?
Yes.
The church membership is a conditional covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't understand that one either. And as a wild olive, an olive of the field, being, we always were, being, that's present, nominative singular, masculine, present, participle, active, we just keep on being that. We were Gentiles. We were cut in. Literally, you were cut in. You, each one. Each individual. Each individual, and Paul's talking to that church in Rome there, he said each one of you was grafted in singularly to this tree. Each leaf, each branch was grafted in, and you weren't worthy of it because you're wild. Mm-hmm. 88.6% of me is a wild Indian. I've only got 1/16th of me that's civilized, and that's Scots.
That's not civilized.
And people don't like these Scotsmen either. John Paul Jones, that's my ancestors.
Smith, Paul, all of those, they were ruffians, so to speak. Civilized, you know. I was talking on the radio here a while back, and a guy proceeded to tell me how worthless Indians were. And lazy and no good and shiftless and all of this stuff about American Indians. I said, well, you know what? I worked hard all of my life. I said, my family worked hard all their lives, and they lost everything they had. But I'm sure that it wasn't because of all of our Indian blood. I said, I'm such a hard worker just because I'm 1/16th, 1/32nd, that is, 1/32nd Scots. 1/32nd. That's what makes me work all this hard. That 1/32nd Scot blood. Because all that rest of the Indian blood, they're lazy, no good bones. Couldn't be that that's causing me all this grief and work, hard work. Abraham is our trunk. Isha is our trunk. Jesus is the real, genuine trunk. And ye were cut in among them, and you became sharers. Sig koinonos. You shared in common. The root of the fatness of the olive you had become. Now you have common relationship. We have the Isha covenant, the Messianic covenant, Genesis 3:15. We have the Noahic covenant, back over here, right here, the Noahic covenant. The Noahic covenant basically was a covenant of human government. Has any really government ever really been successfully protected its people against each other and protected those constituents against itself? America has failed in doing this, even though they've tried real hard in stages. We have that government, human government, has failed. And we find people always want to start a false religion, don't they? Mm-hmm. People aren't satisfied with God's plan. They have a plan of their own. I listen to Christian radio. And I get sick listening to it. It makes me sick. Brother Madden one time was called to preach in view of a call. He called and preached for this church in Louisiana, I think it was. He went and preached to them, and he preached his normal self. Aggressively evangelistic. He preached for me one time. He came in there and he got up there in front and he says, I'm going to preach the gospel in a little while. You're a real lost man. You won't be saved. You better leave right now. Because you're going to be two times the son of hell if you walk out that door lost. Give you time to leave. Mm-hmm. You met him. All you two, you've met Brother Madden.
I probably don't remember him too well.
Yeah. You can go listen to him. He's that way on there. Okay? He wasn't easy. Wasn't easy at all. But he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He would get up and say some hard things. But he went and preached in this church in view of a call in Louisiana. And then he had this other guy come and preach behind him. He got up and preached behind him, and he talked about all their lost babies that had been buried out there in the cemetery and got all the women crying. He totally played with their emotions. And people were in the aisle and praying for God to do all kinds of stuff with that thing, and they called him to preach. And he got up there and he saw a little boy about a week or two later. He said, D.S., that church you went and preached to, they called me.
He said, I got up there and told them everything that they wanted to hear. He said, damn you. Damn your hide. You could have preached the gospel instead. He said, you could have preached the gospel instead of all that emotional psychology. You could have preached the word of God. He said, damn your rotten hide. Because you could have preached the gospel. Every time I get up, I try to preach the gospel. I really do. I don't care what subject is. God's Son died for you. He gave His life for you. We have a chance to be grafted in to that olive tree, and we are wild branches. And we ought to bear fruit when we are grafted into that tree as real churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, we have things in common with the wild olive tree, and you become part of that. Verse number 18. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. We are saved by grace. In many, many towns, wherever you go, missionary Baptists are in some ways very arrogant. And they're the only church where anybody can get saved. And if you go and listen to some of them, they might be five or six down in this town or whichever one, in Bakersfield or whatever. You go to one of them and they'll say they're the only one preaching the truth. You know what I'm talking about? We've been down that road, haven't we? There is no arrogance in what we preach. Because we preach by grace. By grace. We are what we are, only by grace. And yet, we can be cut off, can't we, as a church? We don't have any other foundation other than Jesus Christ. The foundations, we are wild olives grafted into the real olive tree. And one of these days, it's a miracle today when a Jew is saved. It's a miracle. Because of their arrogance. Brother Madden, again, used to say, is there hardly ever I preach a sermon without referring to that man? I love that man. I went all over the world with him. There's something about being in war that draws you closer to another person. People in the army, Audie Murphy, people like that, Roger Bresham, one of my students. People like that that have faced danger for so long out there with each other. There's something about facing danger with somebody that draws you close to them. From December to May, from December 1975 to May 1976, I was under fire in the Middle East with Brother Madden. We came into Beirut, Lebanon. And Brother Madden was under Bazooks. They got rifles on us, boy. They got rifles on us. He said, look at them rifles. Look at the anti-aircraft guns following us. Anti-aircraft rifles were following our airplane. Right in for work. And then he ran out there with a machine gun. Telling us that we got off and going to kill them. They were having a revolution, a civil war, in Beirut, Lebanon. It had been ruled by a Christian ruler, but the PLO were kicked out of Jordan, and they went in there and started taking over. Islam isn't silent. Islam isn't peaceful. I was right in the middle of that, people. Brother Madden was really scared. I saw the fear in him. And when that big old man was scared, that man was at Anzio Beach. He went from a giant, a man, in there to a 140-pound skeleton. At Anzio Beach, he had to kill his best friend because he went plumb nuts. Pulled a .45 out of his side and stuck it underneath his chin and pulled the trigger of the man that watched his back all through the war from Africa there.
we were over there in Jordan, and the guns were rolling. Machine gun fire all around us. Boom, 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 boom. All night long, the last night we were in Jordan, the streets just rumbled with tanks rolling down the road. Brother Phillips, we're in the middle of war over here. Woo. You know, we got out there in Jericho, and bullets were flying in Jericho. Whing. Now, it is not, you don't feel safe when you hear a ricochet, people. You don't know where that bullet's going, you just hear it going someplace. Boom, 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 all around us like that. We got up there and we were listening to this doctor of archaeology tell us about all this tale. And you can go listen to all this on Discover the World, on Sermon Audio, under the Middle East Tour, with Brother Madden narrating it as we do all of this. And someplace in there you'll say, Brother Phillips, makes me want to dig a foxhole. We were in danger. We were on the Alamed Bridge over there. They blew up our bus. There was nothing left of our bus. They put other people on our bus that went across the line. And I was the one who held them up because they had stolen my inoculation records and they didn't want to let us go over there in Israel. They wanted me to take all those shots again and everything. We got right up to that and we stayed there. And so they finally put another group on the bus that we were on. It went over there and boom, 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 machine gun fire was heard all over. It blew the bus up. They blew a bus up right in front of us in Jerusalem. We went down to Hebron. I got to see the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them were buried. That was holy ground as far as I was concerned. Man, that was one of the most holy places I was there. That's for real, people. That's not mythology. That's a real place. And guns all around us, holding guns on us all the time we were there. We were under the gun. Well, from that time on, Brother Madden looked at me as his bosom friend. And I did him too. We went through danger together. Now, as church members, we're in a dangerous world. It ought to make us hold closer together than ever, huh? And yet, I want you to know one thing. Not one thing we ever have is what we work for. Because what you work for can be blown away in a moment. I don't care how hard you work. I watched Smith Paul and Sam Paul work and work and work in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. They had 5,200 acres under fence, and they lost it all because of the Dawes Act. And my grandfather, great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul, tried to circumvent the Dawes Act, and it cost him his life. And a moment, Oklahoma, Indian Territory, would be a different place in this world had my grandfather lived. Everything that my family had from Mississippi, North and South Carolina, Arkansas, North and South Dakota, and Minnesota was taken from them. We came to California to be mistaken for white Okies. So we could own what we had. So they wouldn't think they could take it away from us Indians. Sippy was the first one to come out here, Sam Paul's sister. She died up there in Quail Lake on Highway 138. She lived not too far from us in Greenfield. Whatever you work so hard for can be taken from you real fast. But that which God gives us is by grace, isn't it? Poof. Your life can end in a moment, can it? Just in a moment. Live every moment as if it's your last. Live it as if it's your last. We live in a world of blindness and deafness, don't we? Blindness and deafness. The world, the religious world, is blind to God's churches, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Willingly. The world is blind to the real root that God set in that ground, which is upon Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. We're grafted into the Abrahamic covenant by grace. We're grafted in. Not by anything that we do. I was really giving my wife a bad time coming up here today. She's telling me how good I was and how wonderful a person. I said, I'm a low down, no good for nothing, nothing. I said, there's nothing I've ever done in my life that God didn't give it to me. And she says, there's no moss that grows on me that I'm the hardest working man she ever saw in her life, which I am. But that don't matter, does it? You can work and work and work, and it's somebody else. Work and work. Abraham Lincoln says, we got all these black slaves working. They have nothing for it. They're owned. Their property is somebody else. He said, what a man does, he ought to be able to have. You can't have that in most of the countries in the world, can you? Mm-hmm. We live in a time of grace. We live in a time that we ought to look more at God and see what he has given us. What we have is by grace. It's nothing else. What you have, hold on to it. Most of all, is your church membership and the salvation that you have so freely of God. That is the most precious thing that we can ever have. And if you're listening today and you don't have salvation that's been given for you, you're not going to work your way into heaven. It's not ever going to happen. There is nothing you can do to go to heaven, is there? Jesus did it all. And if you're saved, then you ought to look and try to seek to follow God and be grafted into the true roots on that branch that we're in there with. But Israel's coming back, people. God's not finished with them either. We're all saved by grace. Vincent, what do you have?
307.
307. I hope that I've given you food for thought. Food for thought. Because what we have is only a gift. What we have is by the grace of God. Salvation is a gift. When we serve the Lord in one of his churches, it is a gift that we're there. But God will pay you for whatever you really do willfully.
Each and every one of you.